From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Chicago teachers are on strike for a second day as the school board and teachers union try to hash out a deal at the bargaining table. It's Chicago's first schools strike in 25 years. Here's the sound of teachers outside the Walt Disney Magnet School, an elementary school on Chicago's north side. The whole country is watching as what plays out in Chicago has implications for the presidential race, for education, for labor, for national efforts at reform. This hour on Point, we dive in on teachers, school reform, and the Chicago teachers strike. You can join the conversation. Are you following all this? Do you see a bellwether here for the nation? And who needs to give what? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Here's the sound of the last efforts that led to strike. This was Sunday. Karen Lewis, president of the Chicago Teachers Union, saying teachers would strike for the first time in a quarter century in Chicago.
Negotiations have been intense but productive. However, we have failed to reach an agreement that will prevent a labor strike.
And the same day, Chicago Mayor, former chief of staff to President Barack Obama, said teachers didn't need to strike. He called it a strike of choice.
This is totally unnecessary. It's avoidable. And our kids do not deserve this. I have instructed the team to be available and ready to go to begin negotiations as immediately as now so we can close the gap.
Totally unnecessary, says the mayor, but it's on. Joining us first today from Chicago is Joel Hood, reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He covers the city's public school system, has been writing about the contract negotiations and run-up to the strike since last fall. Joel, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So what are they down to? What are they talking about? What are they negotiating over, Joel?
Well, you know, these are contract negotiations that, as you mentioned, began last fall. So there's been a lot of stuff that's happened over the last year. Right now, they seem to be down to, they've taken care of a lot of the small technical issues, you know, things like, you know, rights for nursing mothers and when teachers will take their break time. Things right now seem to be centered on three main points. There's teacher compensation, which has been big since the beginning. There's this idea of job security for teachers. The Chicago Teachers Union has, for years, has wanted to put in sort of a rehire pool for teachers who've been laid off because a school has been closed or a school has been consolidated. They want to get those teachers back into the system. They say that these are teachers who've been fired for, you know, through no fault of their own because the district decided to close the school. They want those teachers back in the system. And then the third main thing has to do with teacher evaluation and how teacher will be evaluated by his or her principal, and specifically how large a portion of that evaluation should rely on how their students perform on standardized tests.
Joel, we'll talk about compensation, but these last two, who gets recalled, who gets hired when the city's hiring, and the city's freedom to decide who they want to hire, and then evaluations, these seem to go to reform. Is this at bottom a battle over whether Chicago's schools, maybe the nation's, will be reformed, Joel?
Well, I think both sides see it that way. I think you know, part of the reason why this has taken so long is because both sides, really from the beginning, have seen this as a fight that's much bigger than themselves. You know, Rahm Emanuel has had the ear of some education reformers on the national level. They've come into Illinois, they've come into Chicago, and they've pushed some types of agendas that really sort of undercut the power of the teachers' union. One of the big things that happened last year was a reform effort in the state capitol where, you know, essentially they tried to remove the ability of the Chicago teachers' union to strike. They didn't take it that far. They basically forced them to get a higher threshold of vote. It's all very technical, but essentially they tried to eliminate the power of the teachers' union to strike. You know, that really struck a nerve in the teachers union, as you might suspect, and so things have kind of been building. From the teachers union standpoint, you know, they know other teacher unions from around the country are watching them, are watching this fight here. A lot of it's very political. Karen Lewis, who you played earlier, has become like a major celebrity in organized labor around the country because of the way she stood up to Rahm Emanuel. You know, she's called him a bully, and she said that, you know, teachers have felt like they've been bullied for much of the last year during these contract talks, and that's why things have escalated.
Rahm Emanuel wanted a longer school day, more time in school, but didn't want to pay teachers more for that. Is that still bubbling behind this?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been a big part of this. So what happened was, when Rahm Emanuel was elected, one of the things he insisted, even during the campaign, was that Chicago school students needed a longer school day. Chicago had one of the very shortest school days and one of the very shortest school years in the country. And, you know, like a lot of large urban districts, this is a district that was largely dysfunctional. They had a lot of problems. The test scores weren't what they wanted to be. The graduation rate wasn't what they wanted it to be. But Rahm Emanuel thought lengthening the school day and lengthening the school year was going to be a big part of sort of his reform effort here. The problem was the district didn't have money to pay the teachers really for working that extra hour, which is what they ended up deciding on. So they came through some sort of, you know, complicated agreement where they would, you know, hire teachers to kind of fill in for that extra hour, but kind of a messy situation. That's certainly one of the big, you know, when teachers and when Karen Lewis talk about feeling disrespected, that's one of the things they point to, is that, you know, Rahm Emanuel and the school district had come in and really pushed this reform in the face of teachers and not in collaboration with them.
So where are we on money now? Are Chicago teachers not well paid? How's that look, Joel?
Well, again, it depends on who you ask. I mean, you know, the average teacher salary in Chicago is fairly high. It's about $71,000 a year. You compare that to cities in New York and Boston and Los Angeles, which we've done. It's higher on average than those cities, and you know, Chicago has a lower cost of living than those cities, so that's certainly in their favor. The union then argues, though, but when you add things like total compensation, the benefits that teachers get, they're not as highly compensated as maybe some of the other teachers. But either way, they earn a good salary in the city. It's not as much about salary as it is about this idea that the city's administration is asking them to work longer and not wanting to pay them more. That's sort of it's not so much what they earn, it's this sort of tenet of labor law that says if we're asking you to work longer, you know, you deserve to be compensated for it.
And who's really going to be driving change, if there's change here? Obviously, problems in the Chicago system. 60% of public school students graduating from high school, 6-0.
And that's much higher than it used to be. I mean, 10 years ago, it was closer to 50%, and so they've improved in that area.
Percentage who graduate from college, I'm reading here, before the age of 25, about 6%. That's pretty bad.
Pretty bad. I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, Chicago, like, as I mentioned, a lot of these large urban school districts, you know, suffer from a lot of the same problems.
Yep.
And you know, finding ways, these are not easy solutions. I mean, if people knew how to get, you know, kids from low-income communities to perform better on tests and to get them into college, I mean, if there were easy solutions for these, people would have figured it out by now. But they're not. They're very complicated. And, you know, that certainly plays a role in what we're seeing now.
A line in the sand in Chicago. Joel Hood with the Chicago Tribune. Stand by for a minute. Laura Washington, columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times, joins us right now from Chicago. Laura, thanks so much for being with us today. Welcome back to On Point. What do you see going on here? What's the bottom sort of line in this, Laura?
Thanks a lot, Tom. I think the interesting thing is I think that both sides really wanted to see this settled. It's not in the interest of either side to have a strike right now in these kind of tough economic times. But they just, I think there were issues related to the personal relationship between Rahm Emanuel and Karen Lewis, which is very, very fraught and very difficult. It was related to what Joel just described as the disillusionment the teachers have personally with Rahm Emanuel, because they feel that both through some of his actions and through some of his statements, he has been disrespectful. And there's the backdrop of this terrible economic recession that we're in, a recession that this mayor inherited. And it's actually interesting because as you point out, we've had labor peace on the teachers union front for 25 years, but that came at a very high price because the former mayor, Richard Daley, basically gave the teachers very generous contracts and to keep the labor peace because he understood how politically dangerous a strike would be. So now the chickens are all coming home to roost. They've gotten generous generous, and I think the teachers would say well-deserved increases over the years, but now the well is dry. Some estimates say that the city is facing as much as a $3 billion deficit in terms of just expenses for schools alone, and so Rahm Emanuel is in a position where he just doesn't have the money to settle this, because if he did, we never would have had a strike.
And the whole country watching here, wondering if this is a kind of Waterloo around education reform. Joel, do I have it right? The current offer is a 16% salary increase over 4 years. Is that right?
Correct. The latest offer we heard from the district on Sunday night was basically a 16% average salary increase over 4 years. So that, you know, it works out to, and it's a cumulative total. It gets very technical quickly, but it's, you know, 3% in the first year, then 2%, then 2%, then 2%. You know, you add it up together.
I mean, these days, that doesn't sound too bad. They must really, really care about the other elements of power in the school here as much as money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, keep in mind that the district had held firm on a 2% annual raise for, you know, most of the last year. They only recently came up to that 16% number. Karen Lewis said, you know, we're actually not that far off on compensation. The real key issues right now are really about that job security, which has been a big one for the union for a long time, and then also the teacher evaluation. You know, they want to feel, and those are two things that are linked, because, you know, they want to know that teachers are being fairly treated, fairly evaluated, and that if they're laid off because the school is closed, that they have an opportunity to continue teaching in the
city.
To
come back, linked in Chicago and around the country. Joel, what's your guess? Nobody knows, but 2 days, 2 months, how long?
Oh, I hope it's not 2 months. Well, I don't think we know. It's funny because, you know, every time they finish a negotiating session, and they were in for 10 or 11 hours again yesterday, the district comes out and says, we're very close. And then Karen Lewis says, no, we're not even close. So it's like they can't even agree on how close they are.
The whole country is watching. Joel Hood with the Chicago Tribune joining us from Chicago. Thank you very much, Joel, for getting us started here.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking today about the Chicago teachers' strike. It is on as of yesterday. It rolls on today. We're looking at the strike and reform and respect and reality in American education. Here's Chicago parent and organizer with the grassroots organization Parents for Teachers, Erica Clark, saying parents support the teachers' demands.
The teachers in the classrooms, they're the ones that really care about our kids and know what our kids need. Not the corporate executives at the Board of Ed who think our schools should be run like a business.
Well, some parents support the teachers. Here's an outraged parent, Gladys Hampton, says she's angry with the school board and the teachers' union that they didn't come to an agreement.
How dare you guys stop school in session? How dare you do that to our children? What are you thinking about? Not about them.
Not about them? Well, it is definitely on. Laura Washington, columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times, joins us today from Chicago. Laura, what is the sentiment in the school? I mean, this is 26,000 teachers. This is 350,000 plus students. The sentiment in the city, I should say, about all this, can you tell? Are they doing, I don't know, opinion research about who's got what kind of support here yet?
Well, you also have other players. You know, all of these parents have jobs, or many of these parents have jobs. Just imagine what the economic impact of that is going to be. Folks are not going to be able to do their jobs, or there's going to be interruption in business because of this. There's many industries that are affected by the schools in terms of food service and other things. So there's a lot of players here. I think that until you can't take a scientific temperature of attitudes about this unless you have an actual poll. But from what I'm seeing and hearing so far, I think that the parents, for the most part, are hanging with teachers, at least temporarily. You had a soundbite on earlier about from Walt Disney School on the north side of Chicago. I live very close to that school, and I've seen some of the energy in the neighborhood just around some of the protests that happened yesterday out there. You hear honking of horns. You hear people wearing the red T-shirts, which teachers are wearing, and other folks are donning them in solidarity. So right now, I think the teachers are being given the benefit of the doubt.
And it's all happening in such a particular city in this country, particularly in the context of this presidential campaign and the Obama administration. This is President Obama's hometown. And Laura, stand by there. Stephen Greenhouse joins us right now from New York, labor and workplace reporter for the New York Times, author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Stephen Greenhouse, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Always nice to be here.
It's great to have you. So, sort of paint the picture. I mean, around Chicago, you really do have the whole nation watching, and you've got a lot of big-time irons in this fire, Stephen.
Yes. It's unusual to have, you know, this is the biggest teacher strike in 25 years, and it's not coming in an anti-union Republican-led city. It's coming in Chicago, you know, typically a labor stronghold, and the union is really fighting with none other than, you know, Rahm Emanuel, one of the nation's most prominent Democrats, former chief of staff for President Obama, had been one of the heads of Obama's campaign. And Rahm Emanuel is demanding many of the same concessions that, you know, Republicans have been pushing, asking from, you know, teachers unions. He wants student test scores to count much more in deciding how big a raise teachers should get, whether they should get tenure. He's pushing hard for more charter schools, which would mean perhaps closing some public schools, and the teachers are very worried that they'll lose their job, and they want to figure out how they can get reinstated. And a lot of the union members say, this is belittling the profession, this is not treating us with enough respect, and they really don't expect a Democratic mayor to be doing this.
How does this fit into the national debate over education reform, Stephen Greenhouse? I mean, whose torch is Rahm Emanuel carrying here? Is he following Michael Bloomberg in the mayor of New York? Is it Arne Duncan's kind of trail that he's on here? When the teachers push back, what are they pushing back against in big national terms?
In ways, Tom, Mayor Emanuel is, you know, doing a lot of what Arne Duncan, the education secretary, has done, Bloomberg has done. There's a whole so-called education reform movement. You know, there's the movie Waiting for Superman,
yeah,
and other movies. And you know, it's a Republican and somewhat a Democratic movement, and it's funded by a lot of hedge fund billionaires. And the sense is, you know, the American schools are not doing well enough, and no one really disagrees with that. And this reform movement, one of their perhaps its main target is the teachers unions. They say the teachers unions in many cities and counties is the main impediment to improving the schools. And the teachers union says, "Bull, we're being scapegoated, especially by folks on the right who hate public sector unions and want to destroy them because they're, you know, very helpful to the Democrats." The teachers unions and Karen Lewis, the president of the teachers union in Chicago, saying, you know, don't blame us, the teachers union, for our schools being bad. You got to blame things like poverty. Others say American schools aren't doing well because, you know, American kids spend way too much time watching TV and playing video games and not reading, and a lot are in one-parent families, and the parents working too hard to make, you know, working very hard and just doesn't get enough time spending with the kids, reading to them, playing with them. So there are many, many reasons for the problems of the schools. And the education reform is saying, yes, that might be true, but teachers unions remain a big problem, and we have to get them to agree to be more flexible, to allow more charter schools. And the union will respond that, you know, charter schools, studies show, really do not do any better than the typical public school. Only 20% of charter schools do better than the typical public school. 40% do worse. 40% do about the same. And they say, why is there this big movement claiming it's going to really turn around the nation's schools when there's really very little research bearing out what they're calling for?
Laura Washington, you're there in Chicago with the Sun-Times and political analyst at ABC7 in Chicago. Does the union feel, I mean, here you've got Rahm Emanuel right out of the White House, you've got Arne Duncan there in Washington, now you've got President Obama himself. Is the union feeling somehow, by extension, betrayed by the Obama administration here, pushed too far at that level or not?
If they are, they aren't talking about that publicly yet. Karen Lewis has reserved her ire and her criticism for Rahm Emanuel, and she hasn't politicized it beyond that. She sort of described him as being a sort of a self-contained bully. But of course, I'm sure that the union leadership is watching this one very, very nervously for the reasons that Stephen just described. There's been this is part of, and Rahm Emanuel himself has been a hero on the right, and many of the organizations that have supported some of the legislation to pull back teachers' rights in Illinois. Those people have also supported Rahm Emanuel's campaign in terms of giving. There's a major charter school movement here in Chicago that is led by supporters of Rahm Emanuel. So again, I think the teachers see Rahm Emanuel as being certainly someone who's more on the side of folks who want to take who want to diminish union power than that. But as far as tying it to the president, they're not going that far. But of course, as you know, Mitt Romney he was here in Chicago last night for a fundraiser, and he came out with a very critical statement saying that basically praising Rahm Emanuel for being on the right side of this issue, and you know, and of course putting Barack Obama in a very awkward position.
And the whole country watching here. Laura Washington, Stephen Greenhouse, please stand by. Lots of listeners calling in Providence, Rhode Island. Andrea is calling. Hi, Andrea, you're on the air watching Chicago, I guess. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, you know, this is a multifaceted, very complex analysis that you're trying to do. First of all, all of the teacher schools, you know, inner city Chicago, Miami, Boston, all over the country, okay, the federal government reports, if you will, are fully aware that typically it takes three generations to assimilate a value of education. Now, they turned around and said, but we're in a crisis because we have the new rising, emerging immigrant population. That's number one. So let's put it on the back of the teachers. And they knew what they were doing.
They want more of the teachers' evaluation based on student test scores. That seems to be
right.
Central to a lot of reform efforts. What do you think?
Testing, 40% evaluation based on testing is totally appalling because, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
If Bill Gates and the business people want to run it as a business, let's be fair. Take out your severe, profound, moderately mentally challenged scores that you're expecting us to raise that are not going to raise. And let's take those out of our schools, such as the schools that we have in Providence, that add those scores in. And let's see where we are.
Andrea, are you a teacher, Andrea, yourself?
I certainly am.
And are you?
And number one, number two.
Yeah.
So you're assimilating those scores into the teacher's scores.
Yeah.
And your expectations are a child that's near vegetative or moderately challenged, you have to raise their scores. Let me see them do it.
It sounds like you're pretty sympathetic to the teachers in Chicago. On the other hand, only 60% graduating high school, 6% college. You can see why people want to do something, Andrea.
11 and 10 classes a day in our main area with three reading interventions. There are not bathroom breaks for teachers. There are signs in the bathroom saying the threat, for example, the school won't continue to operate if the scores don't go up. Number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Andrea, it's a long list, and we got it. I think we've got the heart of your perspective right there, and I appreciate your call. I want to get one more voice from Chicago in with us. Timothy Knowles joins us right now. He's director of the University of Chicago Urban Education Institute. In last year, he was a member of Mayor-elect Rahm Emanuel's Education Transition Team. Timothy Knowles, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
So what's going on here in Chicago? Is this education reform hitting the wall? Is that what we're looking at?
I think the strange thing is, on the face of it, the strike itself should be settled. Kids should be in school. The union agreed to terms for the longer day, which was the big controversy. Both sides seem to agree on the economics. So it raises the question about what is this strike really about? And I think two quick ideas. One is it's a reform-minded mayor, certainly, running headlong into traditional old guard labor, and that's made more combustible by virtue of the fact there's not money in the system to support reform. But the second is what Andrea was just voicing, which I think is a manifestation of our national education debate. Teachers feel blamed for school's failure to combat poverty, and whether
to combat poverty or to combat education failures.
Well, I think the narrative in Chicago is you're asking us to solve poverty. And I think that's frankly the national debate is to what extent can schools move the needle for poor children? We have some great examples in Chicago and across the country of where that's happening. And now we're pushing hard on the levers we have, teachers, teacher accountability, whether it's charter schools, merit pay, to get the results we presumably share in terms of better performance.
Yeah. Stephen Greenhouse, I wonder do you see Chicago as, you know, as a one-off? It's got a particularly kind of in-your-face mayor, Rahm Emanuel, for better or worse, judge that as you will. It's got a very strong union culture there, and teachers union in particular. Is Chicago a one-of-a-kind here, or is this a sort of, I don't know, a national tilt? Are the unions going to start, teachers' unions going to start saying, look, you're asking too much of us, figure out another approach to reform?
It's sort of both, not to cop out, Tom. You know, other mayors, other school boards have asked for many of the same things that Mayor Emanuel has asked. But, you know, with Rahm, who's a brilliant guy, some people see him as a bull in a china shop and that he's, they feel he's been insensitive to the unions, that he's disrespected them. So I think other, school board superintendents, other mayors might have been able to get what he has sought, perhaps by being more diplomatic, although he is, has demanded a whole lot. I think, the teachers are saying that the mayor is pushing for all these things that have not been proved by research, and they feel that why should we agree to these things that in many ways will hurt us, they're pushing harder for reinstatement language so that someone who loses a job when their school closes because it's found to poorly perform, they want, to be able to get their job back. They don't believe that basing tenure decisions and salary decisions on student test performance is really a good, accurate way to do that. They feel that the research isn't there, and they feel that the mayor, in many ways, is pushing these fads like charter schools that really haven't been proven and that in many ways, show a lack of faith in public schools. And in many ways, the Chicago Teachers Union is pushing to defend the public schools, and I think that's why a lot of parents are backing them. They believe in their public schools.
Stephen Greenhouse, labor reporter with the New York Times, author of The Big Squeeze. It's always great to hear from you, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Let's get a call right here, Laura, Timothy. Let me get a call from Lexington, Kentucky. Wes is calling. Hi, Wes. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. This is just real quick from a student's perspective. I've just been shortchanged by a lot of teachers in the years, and I've just seen it happen to a lot of students, and I totally agree that teachers need to get paid more so they feel like their time is worthy, and their energy.
Okay.
But at the same time, too much job security, I've just seen so many teachers not care, about the students anymore. And I think they need to be on their toes a little bit because it keeps them more involved and more energetic and exciting. And that's pretty much all I say. Well, also, if you're on strike as a bunch of teachers, you should probably know your grammar, because I'm pretty sure prouder is not a word.
you're a stickler, Wes, but we've got your point. Laura, there's Wes. He feels shortchanged by a lot of teachers and says, come on, teachers need to be on their toes. How do you think Chicago teachers feel about that kind of poke in the ribs, Laura?
Well, of course, they don't like it because for some of the reasons we've discussed, they feel under assault by all sides, and they feel that they're expected to remedy the society's problems. But I think on the other side of that, one of the two key issues left on the table is this question of teacher evaluation. Now, not only has it been a long time since we've had a strike, but it's been a long time since the evaluation process has been changed, something like 40 years, and it's been a very simple, basic, checklist type of evaluation. I think it's difficult for reasonable people to understand why the teachers would want to not enrich that system in some way and tie it to some measure. There's a lot of controversy about test scores, there have been for decades, but there needs to be some way for teachers to be held more accountable for what goes on in the classroom. I covered education back in the early 80s,
yeah.
And teacher evaluation was a big issue then, because a lot of people see it as a way of protecting bad teachers, and no one wants that.
Tim Knowles, sure it's holistic here. Sure, there's all kinds of environmental problems, but I mean, has Chicago gone too far in trying to hold its teachers accountable or not?
I think you've got to look at the data on this one. In 2007, there was a careful look at every teacher evaluation in Chicago, and 99.7% of the teachers received a satisfactory to distinguished rating. So less than one-third of 1% were rated as unsatisfactory. That's not an indictment of teachers. That's an indictment of a broken system. And teachers have a good reason to be skeptical about evaluation systems if that's the norm. So I think the effort is really to say, let's look at a bunch of metrics and not just look at these short checklists, as Laura was saying.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Chicago teachers' strike and reform, respect, and reality in American education today. 26,000 teachers on strike there, 350,000-plus Chicago students out of school, the whole city in a kind of low-grade turmoil. You can imagine all the jobs and parents and people trying to make do while that's going on. But there's a bigger issue here about education reform and how it's playing out, who's got the controlling hand here, and what shape it's going to have. Timothy Knowles joins us. He's director of the University of Chicago Urban Education Institute, worked with Mayor-elect Rahm Emanuel's education transition team, so note that association. He was previously a deputy superintendent in Boston and co-director of the Boston Annenberg Challenge. It was a national effort to improve literacy instruction. Joins us from Chicago. Laura Washington joins us from Chicago as well, columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, political analyst at ABC 7 in Chicago. Here's a little sound of a teacher and strike captain at Chicago's North Grand High School. This is Philip Cantor, and he was talking yesterday with Ed Schultz on MSNBC. He was asked about the prospect of implementing test-based systems, or, you know, score-based systems to evaluate teachers, and here's what the Chicago strike captain had to say.
It's been shown over and over wherever these studies have been done about tying teacher pay to student test scores. It's not valid. It doesn't work. It doesn't actually tell you quality of teachers. Teachers wildly vary from year to year on the same, you know, the same teacher with a similar population of kids can vary really widely and in one year be shown to be one of the best teachers at the school according to those kinds of measures, and the next year one of the worst teachers in the school. And we know that the teacher isn't the one who's changing at that point.
There's a Chicago teacher strike captain, Philip Cantor, yesterday. Tying teachers' pay to test scores is not valid, he says. Let's hear from our listeners, Lisa in Boston. Lisa, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been tracking assessment policy at Fair Test. Fair Test has been doing this since 1985, and we advocate for better use of assessment in K-12 and college admissions. And I'm just listening to this really interesting discussion, and I feel like the debate between Emanuel and the teachers needs a fact check. You just had that teacher on the air, you know, expressing his feeling or stating that the evidence does not support using student test scores in this way to evaluate teachers.
So where do you come down, Lisa? Do you think that teachers' evaluations ought to be based in significant part on how their students do on tests?
It can be part of the way teachers are evaluated, but not the way Emanuel is pushing. He is an outlier in wanting to put such a heavy weight on student test scores. And you know, as Valerie Strauss pointed out in the Washington Post today, Mayor Emanuel received an open letter earlier in the year from scores of professors from 16 universities around the Chicago area cautioning him about using test scores to evaluate teachers in this way. And
what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it from your view, Lisa? I mean, you've got desperate parents out there who want better outcomes, I guess. Test scores seem like a pretty obvious handle to grab onto.
Desperate parents who want better outcomes. Also, the parents that you had on who are sympathetic to the teachers feeling teachers are being blamed for the poverty of the community and the students. But you don't want an evaluation system that, as the teacher described just now, is going to mismeasure. And there's one assessment expert who described it as no better than a coin toss, that these systems are no better than a coin toss at distinguishing good from bad teachers. So you don't want to be deciding who to keep and who to get rid of on an evaluation system that there's no evidence.
Well, how do you do it then, Lisa? If we understand that there are no doubt over time there are some teachers who just, you know, are not really cutting the mustard, if it's not test scores, how do you evaluate it? You got 99.7% satisfactory to distinguished in a school system where only 60% are graduating high school.
Right, right. It's a little bit of cart before the horse, though. The teachers are pointing out the need for resources. They're pointing out the need for smaller class sizes, that their kids need access to art and music and a rich education, which they, you know, not because of the teachers, but because of the resource issues they're not getting. So you have to, like, provide the resources so that people can deliver a quality education to all their students. Then, of course, you need to evaluate teachers. You need to give teachers feedback. You need to give teachers support. You need to follow what the countries who have the best outcomes in the world, like Finland, do, which is they invest in equitable resources across the board for their schools. They invest in training their teachers, supporting their teachers.
Lisa, we've got it. Let us pick it. Let me pick it up right there, if we may. And Tim Knowles, let me bring it to you. I mean, you were advising Mayor Emanuel, so you must have an opinion on this. I'm reading in Laura Washington's newspaper, the Sun-Times, today. You know, they're saying, you know, look at the list of complaints here from teachers. Class sizes are too large. Not enough social workers. Not enough nurses. Not enough counselors. Not enough speech therapists. Not enough computers. No air conditioning when they're pushed into summer school, and that's hot in Chicago. No place for students to play during recess. Nobody to supervise recess. Textbooks arriving late. Not enough music and art teachers. No respect. It sounds like a long list of, you know, beyond test scores, Tim.
Yeah, Lisa's right that there's real peril of over-reliance on single-point-in-time standardized test scores to measure really anything, whether it's kid progress, teacher progress, schoolhouse progress. There's real limitations to that, and building a system that's singularly dependent on that would be crazy. The problem is that the accountability system that we have is broken. I told you the data on that. There's just no question about that. So your question is the right one. Well, how do you do it? We're not going, the money is not there to fix all that long litany of problems, sadly, but we can actually address the teacher evaluation and accountability problem. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but at the very least, you need to look at the quality of instruction, so have good observations of teachers going on. You need to look, the district has suggested, based on a lot of research done across the country funded by the Gates Foundation, that students are actually the best predictors of who the good teachers are. And so there should be some formal way of engaging student surveys into the evaluation process. You should have other teachers evaluating teachers. Cincinnati did this several years ago, and one of the outcomes was they saw a significant uptick in the number of teachers evaluated out of the profession by having the colleagues get engaged in the process.
So do you think that the Emanuel administration in Chicago has a reasonable evaluation package on the table or not?
Yeah. I think it's certainly more reasonable than some of the other evaluation recommendations around the country. Florida is saying 50% of a teacher's rating should be based on value add measures. That's way over the top, in my view.
He's saying 40%, Rahm Emanuel, is that right or not?
It starts at 25%,
okay.
And then it goes up gradually over time. One would hope that they would make mid-course corrections if 25 or 35 becomes too heavily tipped. The other thing you want to do with teachers is, as you would in any organization, you'd want to evaluate the contributions they make to the school as a whole. This isn't a sort of the single teacher as unit of analysis isn't the way to think about this. School organization, school houses matter enormously, particularly those serving poor kids. So
I guess, but if my kid's in their class, I want some learning going on.
But what I'm suggesting here is recommending that there has to be a balance scorecard, not one particular metric that rules the day. I think Rahm is actually taking the heat for an endeavor that really comes from Washington in the form of Race to the Top, and then was with the big carrot of Race to the Top waved in front of states. States across the country have built evaluation systems that include standardized tests as the metric. So I think what's happening in Chicago right now is you're seeing a reaction to that national that national momentum, and Rahm may be taking some hits, but really there's a state law in Illinois that trumps whatever the city decides to do.
Well, taking some heat for a policy coming from Arne Duncan, the former boss of education in Chicago, from Rahm's former boss, Barack Obama.
I guess.
Ethan, Harrison.
Delicious irony there, Tom, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Ethan in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Yes. Hello, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
As a licensed teacher in the state of Virginia, I guess I'm coming from a very different perspective from the teachers in Chicago, because as far as I know, we don't have a teachers union anywhere in the state of Virginia. But I'm looking at this as, you know, there's two sides to this whole debate, and it's as you have mentioned and the speakers have mentioned, that teachers feel as if they don't have anything to help prop up their efforts. they're saying, look, we just don't have enough. And the city of Chicago government is saying, look, we've asked you to perform this service to the community, to the students and the schools, and you, the teachers, are the ones in the best position to affect the change that we want so drastically and so desperately. And yet you have to make something happen. We can only give so much.
It's got to come from both directions, but that's exactly where it's getting hung up right now in Chicago, I guess, Ethan, as they try to find that point. Let me get one more. Thank you, Ethan. Frank in Niagara Falls, New York. Thanks. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay, what do you think, Frank?
I have an adult child now, but I have now a six-year-old that's in elementary school.
Yeah.
And what I'm observing is, in last year's school year, I see that there seems to be stress between the administration and the teachers, number one. Number two is if the public's not made aware of these evaluations, how as a parent can we say, I don't want my child in that class? The third thing is, I never, ever in my life, I'm 57 years old, have heard of a teacher being forced out of the teaching profession because they weren't a good teacher.
What? So it sounds like you're sympathetic to Rahm Emanuel wanting to be tougher in Chicago, Frank.
Well, there was a big struggle here in the Buffalo school system.
Yeah.
We almost lost all the federal funding because the teachers union and the administration couldn't come to an agreeable teacher evaluation. The one that's in place right now is being questioned in litigation. So that doesn't, what good are these evaluations if they're totally just for administration, when there's already strained relations between administration and the teachers?
Well, that's for sure. And you remind us, I mean, this is all over the country, which is part of what makes Chicago so interesting here. Let me get one more, if I may, Frank. Barbara in Wallingford, Connecticut. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Connecticut now, but when I worked as the head of a youth bureau in South Carolina, I frequently had referrals from schools of children who acted out in school, and almost invariably I would say, have you ever tested this child? The answer was always no. They would test the child, find quite often that the child was learning disabled, start meeting that child's needs, and the child started behaving in school. And my point is that in the midst of all this, we're forgetting the needs of the child. This is a system-wide problem, not just a teacher evaluation problem.
Well, okay, fair enough, but teachers are system-wide as well. Yes, there's some challenging education prospects in here. We get that, Barbara. Let me get one more. Chip in Nashville, Tennessee. Chip, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to put a quick point out there. My wife is a first-year teacher, and she's involved in a program that gets people with advanced degrees in other fields into teaching. She actually has her master's in business, but she's in teaching now. Now, I think the real heart of the issue is 40% of these teachers' evaluations being based on test scores is a tough gauntlet to run. Just because in the modern era, they're doing a form of, like, they're correcting behavioral problems and they're dealing with things that are outside of just the nuts and bolts of teaching.
Yep.
I mean, I work in corrections. I'm a deputy sheriff.
Okay.
And sometimes she comes home with some stuff that sounds similar to what I deal with. And this is something that she never even thought of when she thought about getting into teaching.
What she's finding in school, what you're finding in jail, you mean? Society's problems.
I think people are forgetting that, society has changed. I mean, imagine trying to keep, 30 eighth graders off their iPhones. How are they going to learn algebra when they're busy on Twitter? There are things that are making things difficult that I think a 40% of someone's evaluation for their job based on test scores, it's tough. I mean, she's got...
So Chip, we've got it. Our time is short. I think Chicago may have bigger problems than kids on iPhones. But Laura Washington, I wonder what happens here. I mean, how does this play out politically? Could this backfire on Barack Obama? He's been very close to teachers. He always reaches out to them. Teachers' unions have been big backers. But here his own policy, Tim says, kind of running up against the union in his hometown backyard.
Well, the president is always, in the last several years, has had a difficult strained relationship with unions because of policies like the one that Arne Duncan,
Race to the Top,
Education Chief, has implemented. And, of course, Rahm Emanuel, being sort of the poster boy now for labor unrest, doesn't help him. Barack Obama wants to see the strike settled yesterday, and as you probably saw, Jay Carney, his spokesman, yesterday would not take, said that the president's not taking a position on it. Well, his position is get this done. He doesn't. He's in a position where his presidential opponent is fanning the flames of these tensions that he has with union, and he needs the unions to get reelected in November. So this is going to continue to be a national story, and the pressure on Rahm Emanuel and on Barack Obama is going to continue to ratchet up from all sides as time goes on.
Tim Knowles, what do you think? What's your gut? What would it take to solve this? Is it moving the percentage of the evaluation that's based on test scores? Is it bringing back teachers from failed schools?
Yeah, I think the recall rights is the thing that is probably underneath a lot of this. There's 100 schools in Chicago that are at 50% enrollment or less. That's really inefficient. There's no money, and so the union and management know they're going to have to close a lot of schools. That's going to have an impact on up to 5,000 teachers. So figuring out some common ground in terms of how those 5,000 teachers are going to be treated when schools are closed.
Why not bring some of those back, Tim? Is Emanuel afraid that those are not good teachers somehow? I mean, surely.
No, I think you know, the principle on the union's part is bring our senior people back first. The principle on management part is give principals the chance to pick their team and pick their teachers. I think there's going to have to be some give in the middle in order for this to get solved. I think that's really doable, and you could just bound it to the school closures and consolidations and move forward.
Is the Chicago outcome, Tim, going to tilt education reform nationally one way or another?
I think mayors are going to look at it, and if Rahm prevails, they're going to push harder. I think the AFT affiliates in other cities are going to look at it, and if Karen prevails, they're going to be more, they're going to dig their heels in and fight a different, more aggressive kind of fight. I think it really depends on the wins and losses on the ledger.
The national stakes right there in Chicago. Timothy Knowles at the University of Chicago's Urban Education Institute. Thanks so much for joining us, Tim.
Thanks a lot.
Laura Washington at the Chicago Sun-Times. Great to have you as always, Laura. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
This is On Point.